Okay. God damn, my foot hurts. I got this. I'd like to look up the... I'm going to tell you exactly what I got. It is something that I've got as the result of probably carrying too much weight at one point in my life and also injuring it. My right heel, both heels were hurting me after I was on stage rehearsing for the one-man show, which, by the way, we have dates in February. Two more shows we're going to do of The World of Phil Hendry. If you're interested, it would be great to have you guys come out and see the show. Having said all that, let me look this up so you guys know what the fuck it is I'm talking about here. It's called plantar. It's a crazy name. It's the name of the muscle is the plantar muscle on the heel. It's a muscle that stretches across the heel. Plantar fasciitis. Plantar, PLANTARFASCIITIS. Plantar fasciitis. No. Plantar fasciitis. I don't know how to pronounce that. Let me see. How are they pronouncing it? It's very common. There's top five fasciitis. How the fuck do you say that, motherfucker? I'm going to find out right now. They have a heel stretch. A lot of things, man. I do a heel stretch. It really works out. And I didn't know this. I get out of bed at night or in the morning, and I was in fucking agony. I was like, are you shitting me? I mean, what the fuck is this? What the fuck happened? How did I injure myself? What happened, you know? Then I started doing some online reading, and I found out it's very common between the ages of 40 and 60, I guess, you know, there you go. There's the old fucking man. But hold on, man, how do you pronounce this motherfucking thing? Go to YouTube, and I bet you YouTube will have somebody. How do you pronounce it? That's it. How do you pronounce? Come on, bitch. Do you pronounce plantar fasciitis or whatever? Fasciitis. Here we go.
Plantar fasciitis?
Let's hear that again.
Plantar fasciitis.
Bullshit. Plantar fasciitis. Okay. It's like it's a fascist thing, I'll tell you that. It's that fascism has visited my right heel. What's the correct pronunciation? Does walking help plantar fasciitis? How do I permanently get rid of plantar fasciitis? Stretching and physical therapy. Stretching is one of the best treatments for... And it is. I've learned just these stretches that I do in the morning is total fucking cool. It really fucking helps, man. If you guys have it, stretch that fucking toe. Stretch the toes straight back, man. What you're doing is you're stretching that heel muscle. There's also steroid injections, shockwave therapy. What the fuck is rest activity modification, orthotics, icing and medication, gastrocnemius recession. What the motherfuck? Sounds like surgery. Plantar fasciitis is the inflammation of the plantar fascia tissue in the foot used during walking and foot movement. Plantar fasciitis can be caused by a number of factors, including type of shoes, foot structure, overuse, and types of walking surfaces. The main symptom of plantar fasciitis is heel pain. I wonder if when I was rehearsing the show, if I injured my foot then, or if it just came to a, you know, everything came to a sort of a head in Phil Hendry's life, if you'll pardon the expression. Like, you've been walking just too fucking much. Or you've been walking the wrong way too much. Or you lose some fucking weight, Phil, or something. Because the next day after we did those 3 days of rehearsal before we did the show, it was insane. Let me see. Plantar fascia, is it? How do you spell it? That's what I get. F-A-C-I-I-T-I-S. 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 Two I's there. Love, or let me be lonely. Love, or let me be lonely. This song has been in my fucking head for the last month. It's an old song. You youngins wouldn't know it. There's an old R&B tune called Love or Let Me Be Love or Let Me Be Lonely by the Friends of Distinction. And it really came out. It came out in 70. And again, I was a rock fan, and I don't say rock and roll. In the 60s, it was called rock. And I was a rock fan, but I was gradually morphing into an R&B fan. And by the time I got into radio in 72, 73, I was morphing into a stone R&B fan. And I mean modern R&B. Yes, I loved Marvin Gaye. Yes, I love Smokey Robinson. Yes, I loved all of those cats. The Tammy Terrell, and you know, all of those Motown artists. But I was digging the new groups like Mean Ingredient. You know, everybody plays the fool sometime. You know. And Friends of Distinction, Love or Let Me, or as Gary Owens used to say, there it is, Love or Let Me Be Homely. Then there was just really good. Or Cornelius Brothers and Sister Rose. I dug all that, man. And then I got my gig. I left Orlando, and my first, I would say, big market gig, it was certainly much fucking bigger than Orlando. At that time, I got my first big market gig in New Orleans. Notice I said New Orleans. I didn't say New Orleans, and I didn't say Nolens. I said New Orleans the way you're supposed to say it on the fucking radio in New Orleans, if you're not from New Orleans. You know, that's how I said it. That's what they told me. That's how they taught me. That's what they... WNOE-FM in New Orleans and WNOE-FM New Orleans. That was the ID. 101 point, whatever we were at NOE-FM in those days. What were we? 101.3? 101.5? KGB was 101.5. Wait a minute. I worked at KGB in San Diego. I think we were 101.5. I worked in New Orleans at WNOE-FM, and I don't know what the fuck we were. We were Album Rock Station, but boy, Bobby Reno was our program director, a good guy, but he had some pretty, you know, well, I mean, he had some, like, inventive ideas to sort of incorporate R&B and the New Orleans sound, or the music of New Orleans with mainstream AOR. So what did that sound like? George Benson out of the same box with Led Zeppelin. We played This Masquerade, and we did that in Orlando, too. We also had Wild Chapatulas. You know, we had some local New Orleans bands, you know, Dr. John, that shit. I say shit, it's great music. I love Dr. John. But Santana, the Beatles, the Stones, and then boom, we'd have some R&B, man, like really kind of off the wall, too. Stuff you would not guess would be on an Album Rock Station. I can't think of it right now. I wish I had a playlist from back then. So I worked at WNOE-FM for a number of months, and then I went to Miami. That's when I left there and went to Miami because I got... Why was I getting out of New Orleans? You know why? Because I was eager to move up the ladder to get to L.A., and I don't know that I felt I was going to make it from New Orleans, but what was happening in Miami is, first of all, I had a girl that I was falling in love with, Gwen. She lived in Orlando, and we eventually asked her to marry me, and she said yes, and that's a whole other story. But there was that, and then there was, I had a lot of friends down in Florida, and Miami beckoned. I don't know how else to put it. It just seemed like a good move. I think Gary Granger, in those days, you would look at radio and records and see where the jobs were. You look at R&R, and you say, oh, check this out. There's an opening here at this station. Some of them were big fucking market stations. And so you're always, like, sending tapes out. This is back, Jack, before you're uploading jack shit. You're putting it in an envelope, and you're mailing that shit. I remember putting reel-to-reels. And I think by then we were doing cassettes, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. But anyway, with the resume in a beautiful sheet cover, and you send it off, and then you'd follow up with a phone call in about a week. That was how you did it. My dad advised me. My father, even though he was kind of a shitty father, he had a couple of good things that he said to me. He said, one thing was true. He said, every 100 resumes you send out, you'll get one firm job offer. I actually got three. I sent out 100 resumes. I counted them, man. I sent out 100 resumes. I got three job offers. But WSHE Miami was the one. Gary Granger was the program director. I guess you like my tape. I was very, you know, I was very positive and up and ready to rock and roll and all this good shit. And, you know, I had a good tape, and I, you know, I knew album rock radio. I knew radio, and I knew rock music. So I got hired to be the music director. I don't know if he hired me to be music director before I got to Miami, but or after I got there, but I became the music director. I loved it. I was sloppy as fuck. And we had across the street at Zeta 4 a young lady named Michelle Robinson. Michelle was the music director at Zeta 4. Very organized, very smart, really had her shit together. And I was very happy to meet her before I went off to L.A. because that's where I left to go to L.A. And Michelle was hired to replace me as the music director. And she came in. I met her. I was really impressed with her. She was a great, great lady with a great... You know, just a super personality, but totally had her shit together. And she's walking into this fucking office that I ran Like, it's a disaster area, man. I had albums out of the fucking jackets. They're laying on the floor. I had shit all over the place. I had no idea where anything was. So the first, as she and I talked over the next couple, 3 days, as she organized the office and I was showing her around and I was getting ready to, I'd given my week's notice, 2 weeks' notice. I was watching her as she was very, very methodically putting albums away, you know, picking shit up off the floor, filing the stuff away. And, doing her thing, man. But this is 1978. Everything that I hear about WSHE, everybody who claims they worked at WSHE, they're in a one of those motherfuckers that was there when I was there. I mean, if you look at all the guys that sound off about working at WSHE, they were all, and it's okay. I mean, I'm not trying to cause a problem here, okay? I just don't know. When I was there with Tommy Judge, Mickey Milner. I was there with Mr. Bogart, Jeff Scarborough, Nancy G, Matt Reedy was our morning drive guy. I did afternoons. And they had me as a goddamn music director, too. And I was, you know what, man? I was very young, and I was also extremely just headstrong. You know, I just thought I knew everything. And I think I rubbed a few people the wrong way. I didn't like hearing a sloppy radio station. Maybe I should have been a program director. I don't think so. Good thing I wasn't a program director. People would have hated my fucking guts. You know, I don't think they had a really good opinion of me at WSHE when I left. There were a few people. I made a few friends there. I did, and I met Marcia. Marcia, you listening? I don't know. Marcia's one of my Facebook friends now. Marcia Traurig Lynch. Marcia, I met her when she was a 21-year-old boy. Was she fucking beautiful? She came to the station. She listened to my show. She says, I want to come over and see you and come over and meet you. I said, sure, come on in. And I look and out through the door, you know, I buzzed her in, comes this gorgeous, wavy-haired, auburn-haired, excuse me for saying, large-breasted, beautiful chick. And we spent that summer together. And she and I and Mo, who has since passed on, celebrated my 26th birthday at this brand new place that everybody was talking about. And we had to go. I said, let's go there, man. Let's do it. Yeah, come on, let's go. And it was a great place. This, you know, had like the Fern Bar atmosphere, but it had a whole lot more. Great fucking bar, great food. What was it called? TGIF's. 1978, that's when they got on the map. You look it up, man. I bet you money, unless I just missed the boat on that. But it was, thank goodness it's Friday, or thank God it's Friday. And we had a blast that night. And then I left and I came to California, and Marcia went off. She got married. She had a daughter, gorgeous daughter, and things just kind of change, man. They just, they go in a direction you're not really, you know, and I spent the next 10 fucking years not knowing what I was doing. You guys hear me do those commercials for BetterHelp, you know, the online therapy? I'm telling you the truth. I went into therapy back then because I was really lost, and I did not have the courage to really be the kind of artist that I knew I could be. I didn't have the guts. It takes guts, man. And so you got into therapy, and I gradually, over time, figured out how to do it. Just, you know, you throw caution to the wind. And as the man said, I think I quoted something on the Facebook, you know, no one gained, I think it's along the lines of no one gains success giving a shit what the audience thinks. It's not to be disrespectful to the audience. It's just a fact. If you're worrying about what the audience thinks, you're never going to go anywhere. You bring the audience with you. You don't go with them. You don't go where the audience wants to go. You don't follow them around like a motherfucking puppy dog. You say, here's where I'm going. Anybody want to come along? And you lead the audience to, and it's far more fun for the audience, far more fun for them to discover these crazy fucking things that you're doing than to you and sit there and pander to people. People don't like that. They don't want it. I don't blame them. What does the audience want? Who gives a shit? Now, I know there's such a thing as research, there's focus groups, and there's, you know, let's see, buddy. You know, they knock themselves out cold, man, trying to figure out what you, the audience, likes. We have a thing called aided recall. This is back when I was involved in focus groups, just learning about them. They have a thing called aided recall and unaided recall. I don't know if they do that shit anymore, but they used to say, if you ask somebody, what do you think of the Phil Hendry show? That's called aided recall. Or if you say, what do you think of the morning show on WORJ, which is what I was doing? That's unaided. Or you, even more, you'd say, What do you think of Phil Hendry or the unaided recall bees? What's your favorite morning show? That's unaided. That's of the two questions to be answered in an affirmative manner. You want unaided. You want people to immediately be thinking of your work. What's your favorite morning show? Phil Hendry. Oh, yeah, yeah. What do you think of Phil Hendry? Yeah, he's okay. So in other words, one is a little bit more strikingly powerful than the other. All right, fuck this. Let's go. Let's get our shit together and do the show. Have you gotten a gift certificate?